What's good, podcast world? Welcome back to Balls Deep. We are episode 9 now. I am your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, as always, joined by co-host Chance Rich and David Burgess. Fellas, how are we?
I'm doing well, man. It's a beautiful day out here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, man.
Yes, sir. Another day in paradise.
Another day in paradise, not tasting it.
Yeah, recovering from COVID, matter of fact.
You're damn right. Hey, guys, I'm pumped for this episode. We got a wild one on here. I don't know what the hell is going to come out of his mouth today, but I'm excited to hear it. Coming all the way from Omaha, Nebraska, we have Mr. Peyton Kuhn. Peyton, how are you, brother?
Doing well. What up, fellas? Appreciate you having me on. I'm excited. Pleasure to be on the cast.
Absolutely, brother. We're excited to have you
there
on.
There you go.
And with that being said, you knew it was coming. I gave you a heads up it was coming. Omaha, Nebraska, huge Nebraska fan. Got the Nebraska N tattooed on his bicep. You knew it was coming, so let's get right into it. We had Nebraska. I've saved this topic because I knew I was going to ask you to come on one of these weeks. I've saved this topic for the other podcast. Nebraska trying to bitch out of the OU game this year. They said, bro, we ain't trying to come to Norman. We don't want the smoke. It's the 50-year reunion of the game of the century. We know you're going to kick our dicks in. We don't want the smoke. As a Nebraska fan, what do you got to say about it, brother?
I wasn't happy about that because, of course, I get the call from you talking shit instantly. It's kind of interesting on our end for that fact. I mean, even the Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry goes back so long, it's just one of those things. I mean, literally – I was looking at it today. I think you guys are up in the overall series 43-38. So I mean, 5-game difference in like 80 plus games played. I think there've been 3 ties over that whole duration, and it's just one of those things. You should want to get up to play Oklahoma. You know, granted, we're going to go down there and end up getting our dick kicked in the dirt with Adrian Martinez as our quarterback, but it's just one of those things. You get up to play Oklahoma. I mean, when I was playing ball at Alabama A&M, we'd go and play LSU or Alabama. I mean, you know, going in, shit's going to get dicey. But it's just one of those things. You have to play those guys. We're not pussies. So it's like you should want to get in and play Oklahoma. And I can't wrap my head around it. But from the sounds of it, we're still going to play on. Nebraska tried to play it off a little bit. You know, they just tried playing it off like now we want to play and everything like that, even though we were trying to get out of it. But it looks like the game's going to go on, so I can't complain.
Yeah, Joe Castiglione said, fuck no, y'all ain't getting out of it.
You're coming. That's not happening, dog.
You're coming to Norman.
you're already in this balls deep, homie.
I know, dude, no doubt. I mean, it's one of the, that's a moneymaker. That's a money-making game, Oklahoma. And then having you guys come up to Lincoln – in 2022, I mean, that's just you gotta want that. It we haven't played since 2010,
so I'm burning like, Nebraska down in 2022.
Yeah, right there. Oh, that's massive revenue, though. Like you said, I mean, shit, all the OU fans are gonna, because Nebraska left the Big 12 in what, like 2011?
Yeah,
so it's been a cool minute. And if you don't think OU fans are gonna travel, like you said, that's a lot of money coming that way for that economy.
Yeah, for sure. And a thing that I think, like, Joe C was like, hell no, you're not getting out of it, because schedules are set. And we talked about it last week. It was one of our listener questions, is OU actual contenders this year? That's a marquee Big Ten matchup on OU's schedule. That's a resume booster. They're not going to let Nebraska out of that with everybody else's schedules filled. And they got to find like a fucking Norfolk steak or some shit to come in and play OU in Norman. It's like, no, they are going to have that resume booster of having a Big Ten Nebraska come to Norman.
Yeah, we don't mess up a Power Five.
When Joe C. found out that the Cornhuskers were contacting other schools to play in Lincoln on the same day, you know, it would be the 50th anniversary of the game of the century, he was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
you go take your ass whooping like a man now.
Yeah, he said – he said, Nebraska, I don't know what you're looking for that date for, because y'all's ass is going to be in Norman.
I think the Huskers were trying to schedule, like, Old Dominion, too. Like, bro. that's for the Huskers, too. And, I mean, we're trying to get back on, like, we hired Scott Frost. We're trying to get on the, you know, that national championship path, man, trying to win the Big Ten. It's like getting out of the Oklahoma game is the exact opposite of the way you right. want to go. I mean, and that's big year game. Go in there, up, have the potential to upset Oklahoma, and how big is that to kind of start the season and shit?
That's, you know what I'm saying, too. Like, I mean, they still are Nebraska. They're still Big Ten. It's not like this isn't Norfolk State coming into fucking Norman. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nebraska's going to have every chance in the world to beat OU. OU's going to be really fucking good. Don't get me wrong. But
you got, like, nothing to lose if you're Nebraska.
If you're Nebraska and trying to get back, what other way than to beat OU and Norman to start it to getting back? You know what I'm saying?
The 50th year anniversary. You know what I'm saying? That would be talked about. That's going to be a hyped up game. And you're not going to be playing a 10 in Oklahoma and early in the year when shit can happen. And I was disappointed when I heard that, you know, us trying to get out of it, but at least we're going to get what we want. The game's going to go on. You know what I mean? We'll get a mess around and shit. See what happens. I think we beat the shit out of you guys. And, ruin Rattler's little Heisman hopes at the beginning of the season, beat him up. And
with that being said, give me a final. Like, what do you think a final is going to be?
It'll have to be low scoring to beat you guys. We ain't beating you in a shootout.
You're gonna keep Lincoln Riley offense to low scoring?
This is a hot take right here, brother. 28-21 Skurs. Sack has sacked 5-6 times, few turnovers. He's gonna look like shit, bro.
And then, that's an ice cold take, boss.
And then you woke up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a hell of a dream right there, big dog. Shit.
Hey, we're going to ruin – no more Oklahoma quarterback Heismans. We're going to ruin that.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, you got Spencer and we got Caleb Williams waiting in the wing, so.
I was about to say, we got two in a row, I think, so.
Yeah. Hold on tight, brother. Good chances at it. But we won't roast you too bad. We'll get off the topic of it. I am going to show you the ropes of Norman, though, on that day, because your ass better be down here for it. I'll get us tickets for it. So we got to be in there for it. Our next one I want to go into is just very short. One of our guests were on. We had from an earlier week, Fulmer is back in the rotation. He's came out, started throwing the ball well out of the bullpen, and then the Tigers brought him back into the rotation. He went 5 innings there tonight, 3 hits, only 2 runs, got the dub. So excited to see Fulmer back in the rotation. Elbow recovering good. Everything looked good. His velocity looked well. His off speed looked good. So super pumped about that one. And then we had John. John finally took his first loss. He's had 3 starts this year, 2 of them been against the Dodgers. We've talked about how fucking good the Dodgers are. It's unfortunate that 2 of his 3 starts are against the Dodgers.
They just know that, you know, they probably planned that out because John's probably the best pitcher they have right now. And he's a solid pitcher. And they got to throw the best against the best, man. And
for sure.
The Dodgers lineup is absolutely stacked. And, you know, he didn't do bad either place.
No, he didn't. And, I mean, that first one, he no-decisioned. And then this second one, he only gave up 3 runs and took a loss on it. If you hold that Dodgers lineup to 3 runs, you did something right.
Oh, yeah.
That's all we'll talk on baseball. That's all we'll talk on the guys that we know in the league this week. I wanted to get into this one. It broke last night, or the news actually broke earlier this week, but the guy came out and apologized for falsely accusing him, and that is the lawyer that was suing Aaron Donald for breaking somebody's face off at a club last weekend. And then it comes out, and then the guy was like, oh, no, sorry, I mistakenly identified him as Aaron Donald. It wasn't him. He didn't break my face off. It was some other cat. It's like, what the fuck is that shit?
So first of all, Aaron Donald is like 1 in a million built in genetics. You don't accidentally think he's somebody else. He's very recognizable guy. It's hard to mistake a cat that is as big as that guy.
And he's going to be surrounded by a mob of people if he's out in the club.
He's not going to solo walk up to you at the bar and just punch you in the face. I just don't see that happening.
No, and I feel only that, you know, if whatever charges and whatever jail time would have been brought to Aaron Donald, whether there be any, that guy should have served to him. But in this case, because he came out, he actually apologized and said he was sorry he mistakenly, you know, accused him. You know, I find that to just be, you know, write that one off. But if it would have went through, dude, that guy should have gotten all the jail time, all the fines, everything got pinned on Donald.
I agree, because that's bullshit to come out and accuse somebody falsely.
I would agree with that as well. If he just came up with it out of thin air. If somebody broke his fucking face, then, like, you know, somebody needs to be punished for it. If whether you mistakenly said it was Aaron Donald or not, it's fucked up that you did, because now you look like a money chasing hoe. But
yeah,
but
or
I mean,
Aaron Donald lit his ass up and then gave his watch this shit. Yeah, Aaron Donald can hit me in the face and then come to me and say $24,000 to pop to the public and say I didn't do it. You didn't fucking do it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
here's my thing on it. I feel like if Aaron Donald would have punched this dude in the face, he wouldn't even have a face left. Like, yeah. That's just me though.
Yeah. Aaron Donald would have had to pay for his funeral.
Yeah.
he would have decapitated the old boy. Like closed casket. We can't have this. Like,
yeah.
He decapitated him with his fist.
I didn't just see what that guy that accused him looked like, but
it just sucks. As soon as someone goes gets out into the public like that, how quick he, you know, just keeps going on and on, like the whole Deshaun Watson thing too. You know what I mean? It takes one little this or that, they throw him under the bus. Oh, and then 3 days later, there's an apology and it's done with. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like people don't remember that kind of stuff.
That's a big deal for me, is when you get accused of something, like, no matter what comes out of it, some people that will always, like he did, I mean, like, reputation will always take damage just from being accused.
Yes. Right. Just from being accused, if you, whatever you're accused of, if somebody Googles your name, that's going to come up. Whether you were proven innocent, proven guilty, whether the person just came out straight up said, no, I lied. That didn't happen. Yeah. It's still going to come up when you
stuff like game. He just said, you know, that guy could have easily gotten paid off or whatever. So in some people's heads, they're always going to view it like, well, he's guilty and he bribed him or this, that, and the other, you know. Right. So always people like you view it that way. Well,
all those articles that went out that said that literally it's Aaron Donald knocks guy out in club. You know what I mean? 5 days later, they do a reprint that says, oh, this guy, like no one's reading that shit and no one.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, the damage has been done.
Dude, I'm going to tell y'all right now though, like, if I was in a club and I got punched by Aaron Donald, I wouldn't even tell the press. I'd tell you guys, I'd be like, bro, fucking Aaron Donald knocked my ass out last night.
You know, guess who punched me in the face?
Yeah. Dude, look. My fucking eye's gone.
Guess who did that?
That's not right, guy who sued me either. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be the guy who sued you. It was like that punch at Fort Scott, Wonderlick. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be the guy who sues you after you light my ass up. I'm trying to get away from that situation now. Yeah. Might tell the boys, but that's it.
Yeah, for sure. Wait, I wouldn't want any money from Aaron Donald. I just want to tell my boys, hey, I got knocked out by Aaron Donald. What the fuck y'all do last night? What'd y'all do last night?
Let me come hang out with the Rams.
Yeah, no shit. I don't even want no money, but I checked the schedule and y'all are playing the Chiefs this year. Bro, I need to meet Pat.
Yeah, let's settle out of court for season tickets to Dallas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I ain't trying to tell nobody about this. I just need to meet Pat and we'll go about our way, Aaron. But you ever try to punch me again, I'm going to shoot you because I can't whoop your ass.
No.
All right, so let's jump into the listener questions because we got a bunch of them this week. We cut down the topics a little bit because of the listener questions, which we appreciate the hell out of the listeners posting their questions. Like I said last week, with just baseball going on right now and basketball, you know, three quarters of the way through, they're almost to the playoffs. But right now we're, you know, you got to search for things to talk about on a sports podcast. So whenever you guys post the topics, man, it helps us out a ton. and we appreciate it. The first one we're going to get to, shout out our boy Lance Robinson. Lance hit me up. He wants to come on here with us one of these weeks, so we're definitely going to get him on. But his first question that he posted, I fucking love this one because I think it's a great question. And his question was, game seven's tomorrow. You're the coach. You can have anybody on the mound that you want. Peyton and Chance, this one's going to talk to us pretty hard. David, I know that, you know, we keep saying it. You're trying to learn about baseball, but this is a great baseball question. So, Bubba, let's start with you. Game seven, who you got on the mound? I got mine in mind.
I have mine in mind. I have two in mind, though.
Are we going to do it an all-time and a right now, or what are we doing?
I'm doing right now.
Mine's a right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going off of right now, and I'm really – maybe you guys can help me with this because it's a tough – but, I mean, this is a solid-ass question. I love it, you know. Shout out to Lance for this one, dude. But so tied for one for me, fellas, Jacob DeGrom, New York Bingo. Mets.
Bingo.
And Garrett Cole, New York Yankees.
Bingo.
Those are the two that I really can't just decipher on who I want to start. Both of them shove. Both of them have nasty shit. And both can win a game for you any day of the week. So, absolutely. I mean, those are my top two. And I personally, like, I've thought about this for a while. I literally can't pick just one. It's too hard, man.
Yeah, when I read his question on the post, when I read it, the very first name came to mind was DeGrom. Because that dude is literally fucking unhittable. It sucks that he's with the Mets.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
That they can't score any runs for him, because this dude will give up one run and take a loss. Like, they can't they can't score a run. Jeff Matheny, if you're listening, tell the Mets to score DeGrom some fucking runs.
Please.
But I'm right there with you with Garrett Cole as well. They're a 1A, 1B to me if it's a game seven, who I'd go with. If I had to fucking narrow it down and pick one, being a diehard Yankees fan, I think I still got to go with DeGrom just because he's literally unhittable.
Can't argue that. You can't argue either, though. So
Peyton, who you got on the bump game seven?
Bro, I like the Garrett Cole pick. I like DeGrom too, but, I mean, still relatively young, dude. Another guy that I think would just be a stud in your game seven is a dog, Max Scherzer. Ooh. That might be an outlandish one a little bit. He's on the older side of things now, but dude's a dog. I mean, if you need a win, you throw that guy out on the mound. He would get in the same games. Dude would throw 8-9 innings, give up one run, lose 1-0. You know what I mean? Dude's strapped.
He's one of those guys that he might have three or four bad starts in a row in the middle of the regular season. But that dude, you put him in the playoffs, you put him under the lights, like, that dude's showing up.
He's doing it in the playoffs. I mean, dude's a dog. He's a hoss. He'll go out there and he goes out there, power guys. I love watching him pitch. I mean, I just think in a postseason game late, he's one of those guys that, I mean – you can trust in a game seven. You know what I mean? I'm a big Kershaw fan, but this was one of those questions where, dude, I don't know if I would trust Kershaw game seven. You know,
he hasn't proved shit in the playoffs.
But it's like, if I had to pick anyone else to start a game for me during the regular season, of course I'd want Kershaw on the mound, you know? But this was a tough question because, I mean, you got to take into account someone's wits and balls when it comes to a game seven, man. Not everyone's going for that kid.
Absolutely.
So here's Max Scherzer, top five pitcher in the league right now.
Yeah.
Easy. But here's somebody else that this is a hot take that you could also be like solid ass game seven starter right here. Trevor Bauer.
Ooh,
that dude. That dude
I didn't
will come
even
out.
Think about Bauer, dude.
That dude will come out, shove it up anybody's ass as well. Like a tough three for me, but I mean, obviously not as good as my one and two. Deciphering who's one and who's two for me, DeGrom and Cole, but I mean, Trevor Bauer is definitely three.
Yeah, for sure, and especially the way he's throwing the ball now, with that he's on a team that is good as fuck, and he is thriving in it. Wait, yeah, he is shoving it up people's asses right now.
Easier to pitch when you know you got hitters, man. That's yeah. Damn.
It's a lot easier to pitch up 4-0 than down 4-0.
You go out and start a game and you're like, damn, I got to fucking shut these guys out and K everybody up. Like, yeah. Dude, it sucks.
Yeah, and when you're pitching at home, it's easy to stroll out there and throw your first pitch of the game with a 3-0 lead.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So for shits and giggles, let's David, who's your top pick? Who's gonna pitch for you in game 7, bro?
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you want my starting pitcher? Play baseball. No, I mean, just to keep it a buck from listening to you guys, I would pick your DeGrom cat. Like, I don't watch baseball like that, and I don't have that history with it to where I can say, you know, I've seen this guy gut it out in the playoffs or the postseason. Because I do think that that's a really good point as far as you have to have a guy that's not only mechanically skilled, but the moment's not too big for him. And that goes undervalued sometimes, I think. So you may have a guy that's really good, that's just small as fuck in the playoffs. So in a game 7, I think that was a really good point.
Yeah, from a guy that doesn't know baseball from the back of his fucking asshole, he killed it right there. Solid stuff from D-Birds.
I'm disappointed you didn't say Dak Prescott.
All right, you know what? Just for on the record, my starting pitcher, game 7, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like, because a game 7 is something that you want to choke anyway, so throw a cowboy out there.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
All right, yeah, and that's Lance, great question. That's one I didn't even think of. Like, I wouldn't even thought of that, so – that is a fantastic baseball question that you – I mean, we could talk for hours on that one. Lance's second question, it's pretty cut and dry to me. It is, should athletes be paid as much as they are and why? I'll start this one off. I'll say yes, that they should be paid as much as they are. I know they're paid a fuck ton of money. I get that. But the reason why I would say yes is because they're professional athletes and not everybody in this world can do what they do. They're the best at what they do. If you're a brain surgeon and you're the best at what you do, you're going to make mad fucking money doing it. They are the best at what they do, so they're paid accordingly. I'll let you guys go off that.
So I'll go ahead and take it, and I'm going to start off with saying that multi-million dollar deals, I'm totally fine with that personally, obviously. I think that's cool. You know, they are the best they do. They do exactly what, you know, the fans want them to do at the right times. Like, I'm talking about Pat Mahomes. That's you know, I'll bring that up because his contract is almost a half a billion fucking dollars. Okay, yeah. Crazy as shit. Going off of that, he does exactly what he's supposed to do game in, day out. You know, he goes out there, he shoves, he kills it. But to give this man a half a billion fucking dollars to play football, I think is absolutely absurd. I'm talking, let's build a team around him that can win the Super Bowl versus a 43-year-old man. But, hey, that's just me. I might be talking out my ass right now. David, I'm very intrigued to hear what you have to say about this.
Before David goes on, you must have forgot, my guy's got a ring on his finger.
Tom Brady got 7.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's been in the league for 20 years.
I don't give a shit.
Don't be coming at Pat telling him to win a ring when he's got one on his finger.
Brady $17 a year.
I didn't
even that. Not even that.
And his wife makes 50, bro.
Giselle.
He's a breadwinner. Yeah, so for me, I'm in a place that's in the middle. While I agree with you, Zach, that, you know, if you're good at something, don't do it for free or cheap. I also agree with Chance, like, the amount of money these guys get to me is, like, disgusting. Like, it makes me physically ill. Like, having been to countries where you know, like, we shit into clean water. I've been to countries where they don't have clean drinking water, and the fact that a guy like him is making half a billion dollars, just the impact that would make in some even local communities throughout the United States, you know, from a humanitarian viewpoint, I don't think you should just give away all your money. But God, it's tough for me to see such large sums of money just go to this guy's pockets to throw fucking football. That's just crazy to me. It really is.
Yeah, and baseball contracts are huge as well.
They're getting bigger.
Yeah, baseball contracts get way the fuck up there. Payton, what's your thoughts on him being paid so much?
It's one of those things. It's hard to see because, you know, it's like, what the hell? You know, if I could get $500 million, what the fuck? But at the end of the day, you're paid what you're worth. You think the Kansas City – I mean, if they didn't have $500 million to give this cat, you think they would give it to him? And would you be watching the Kansas City Chiefs? It was Matt Moore fucking 16 games of the year. So it's like, at the end of the day, they're paid what they're worth. Fucking Mahomes is giving a lot of that shit away too. You see him, he's humanitarian, Mahomes and shit. So, I mean, LeBron's out here starting I Promise schools, not all these, you know, and 90% of the league ain't making $500 million. They're over here grinding to make the roster, right, making fucking league minimum.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Same way. You hear about Mookie Betts, big deal. Trout, big deal. Those are the guys who are signing those freakish deals that we can't understand. Bro, the rest, bro, sign me up. I'd fly out there for a McDouble and a plane ticket. You know what I mean? and that's literally what it comes down to. So it's like the guys who are getting paid this big money, I think, are worth it because they're what is attracting fans. Like, dude, in Omaha, I haven't seen so many people wearing Kansas City Chiefs gear in years. You know what I mean? Like, no one was a KC fan until Mahomes shows up. You know what I mean? Right. Now it's fucking our Super Bowl here in Omaha. It's like, bro, I hadn't seen so many KC fans. It's crazy. So it's like what he brings to the game is showing up as far as, you know, people buying shit, people wanting to watch him and things like that. So I think when it comes down to it, most of these guys are paid what they're worth. It just sucks to see because, you know, I can't fathom $500 million in my account. Like, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, it'd be.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be selling out market for sure. It just, like, I think me and Chance are on the side, like, how did the market get so huge? You know what I mean? Like, I'll never fault the guy for getting fair market value. And the market being what it is, you know, he didn't create it. He's just taking advantage. Like you said, I mean, a lot of people would play for a fucking some McDonald's and the trip there. But it's like, how did the market get so inflated? Like, at what point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is crazy, but I had never thought about paying the point that you just made, that because when people think about athletes being paid a fuck ton of money, you think of the LeBrons and the Pat and the Mookie Betts and the Mike Trouts. But like you said, you know, there's a lot of the league that now, are they making more money than what we're making on vet men's and shit? Yeah, probably. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not making that big ass money that the dudes are, you know what I'm saying? So that was another good question. And then we got one more from Lance. I like this one as well. I think Lance has some good questions this week. It's the biggest bust in sports history. I'll let you guys take it. I got mine in mind. I don't know why my mind went to basketball first. I didn't even think of anybody else. So mine are basketball. But David, why don't you start us off on this one, on your biggest bust in sports history, whatever sport it may be. And don't say Pat Mahomes.
you may talk about the Chiefs players now. For me, I'm going to kind of go – there's a lot of busts, so it's hard for me to say, like, the number one biggest. But as far as – I'm going to pick mine based off disappointment, really. And to me, it's Matt Leinart, okay? This cat won a Heisman and two Natties, right? Went number 10 overall and did what? You know, what are you doing in the league? He did fuck all. You know, the dude got up there and laid one of the biggest eggs. And coming from the hype that team had and how good they were and winning a Heisman and getting drafted number 10 overall, like I said, I go majorly biggest bust of all time. But one of the biggest disappointments for me was Matt Leinart.
That's a good one. I would have never thought about him, but he didn't do shit in the league.
Fuck all. Yeah,
so that was one of my top two, Matt Leinart. Because, one, I'm calling him a huge bust because he was, but also I fucking hate USC. Yeah. And then two, he was a really, really good quarterback in college. He came out, he, you know, like David said, fucking Heisman, two Natties, he killed it. Him and Reggie Bush together were absolutely unreal.
I was about to say, it helps your cause of throwing the ball when you got Reggie Bush in the backfield.
Oh, yeah, no lies detected on that one. So, I mean, Matt Leinart, one of my tops. And then, Red, you know this one from me because back when we were young playing basketball in the in the living room. Yep. This is a big one for me. I would act like I was Greg Oden whenever he was still in high school before he played for Ohio State. I would act like Greg Oden because he killed everybody in every sport. Like whenever he was playing high school basketball, shoved it up everybody's ass. Greg Oden came out of Ohio State, immediately just got injured. I don't even know how many games he played in the NBA, but he was like, they thought he was going to be the next, like, Hakeem Olajuwon, you know, the next big center, just absolutely destroying guys. Biggest – I think he's, like, one of the biggest busts of all time in NBA history. That's without a doubt, dude. That's my number two. So, I mean, I think that goes without saying. Greg Oden was a big disappointment for me, but I had such high hopes for that guy because of the way I looked up to him when I was a kid.
Yeah, you hijacked on one of my two. I'm glad you didn't say my other one because then I wouldn't have shit to say. But we used to have a wire hanger bend it into a hoop, and we'd roll a sock up into a ball at 5:30 in the morning before school in my living room. Me and Chance would be playing one-on-one, be playing pig, be playing horse. And he was always Greg Oden.
Don't know.
Faden, who you got on biggest bust?
I was going to say, you did hijack me with the Greg Oden. That was – like one of the biggest hype trains coming when he was coming out of high school. Absolute stud, monster, you know what I mean? He literally was like the Joel Embiid of that time frame, you know what I mean? That's what they were expecting him to come in and do. And, you know, he gets injured and then you never hear from him again, just stayed injured, never did anything. But, dude, kind of to touch on the Matt Leinart, that I thought that whole USC team that ended up getting beaten that natty with by Vince Young. That everyone that got drafted off that team was a fucking bust, dude. Even Reggie Bush didn't amount to shit compared to what we thought he was gonna do. Remember they had like Lendell White, Dwayne Jared, the whole linebacker crew. There was a couple good linebackers thing like Brian Cushing came off that crew. But overall that came out of there, I thought underperformed, you know, in the NFL compared to the hype that was all around them. You know what I mean? Matt Leinart, especially, he fizzled out quick.
So I have a just, you know, rambling off on the biggest bust in the biggest bust in history. There's a name on there that nobody really knows is on there, but it's on one of the top lists right now.
It's Sean Livingston. Take my second one. Oh, okay.
Sean Livingston, dude, that guy. So he tore his knee apart. He a lot of people don't know. He came right out of high school. He skipped college, yep. Came right out of high school, got drafted fourth overall. So this guy, he comes out in his third season, tears his knee apart. Everybody thinks he's done. You know, he sits out for a really long time, and they're putting him as one of the biggest busts. But in my eyes, I see him as coming off the bench for the Warriors and helping them win. You know. Yeah. Two titles.
Yeah, he ring road for sure, but I don't.
I think Sean Livingston's a legend, man.
Yeah, I don't consider him a bust, but I mean, I can see that with the hype that he had coming out, but I mean, that leg injury, they didn't know if he's ever going to play again.
Exactly, dude. That's why I think he's a hero. He's like a Derrick Rose to me, but just, I mean,
and you know, like I can sit here and joke and say that, you know, he ring road on Steph and Clay, but. Well, you're watching like Sean Livingston played a big role in what they did. Like he was solid for him for sure.
As a sixth and seventh man, hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
And I hate the fucking Warriors, but saying that about Sean, I won't regret any of that.
Right.
Bro, they had him and Iggy coming off the bench. I mean, that was like this that was the grossest 6'7" coming off the bench that you could ask for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, Red. Let's hear it, brother. I'm ready. I'm intrigued.
I want to know
what the hell you're talking about.
So I got my two. Like I said, you hijacked me on one. The Greg Oden one, he's up there because of his – based off his performance as well. Like what you're saying, all the reasons, you know, the injuries, he didn't play. Like, he was a straight-up bust. But the reason why I thought of him along with that is because – y'all know I won't say his name because fuck him. But – because of who Portland took over him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could have had one of, if not the best scorer ever in the league. So that was my Greg Oden one, but I kept that same thinking on bust-wise when I had my second one. And, you know, he might not have had the hype that a lot of dudes had or anything like that. But to me, it made you a bust. It was just based off circumstances of, again, who you were taking before. And Sam Bowie was taken second, the pick before Michael Jordan. Like, yeah. Michael Jordan made you a bust because you were picked before him. You know what I'm saying? That's, Olajuwon was picked number one in that draft. Hakeem Olajuwon had a fucking great, great career. Obviously, not a bust. He's a fucking Hall of Famer. But at number two, Sam Bowie goes. Sam Bowie could have had a good career. He could, if he would have went out and he would have averaged 15 for his career, to me, you're still a bust because of what somebody thought of you that – of what they didn't think of Michael Jordan. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, not at all.
I think that's a fair. I think it's fair because, you know, some, like, you were valued. He didn't have hype, but he was valued above Michael Jordan, which, yes, is obviously, in hindsight, fucking ridiculous.
Yes, that's what makes it a bust to me. And that goes into Greg Oden's as well. Greg Oden was just a bust in general, you know what I'm saying? But him being picked before the other guy, like that one, you know, it's like Portland could have had this, but you took Greg Oden, and then Sam Bowie going before Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's the GOAT, like, you know what I'm saying? So,
did you guys have any of the top lists? Huh? Did you look at any of the top bust lists, dude? There's like no baseball players, because if you're a bust baseball player, you just don't make the MLB, so no one knows who the fuck you are. Yeah. That's what cracked me up, because it's like you. You get to the league, if you're the number one overall pick, even if you were dog shit in camp, of course you're going to get time to play in the NBA. You know what I mean? If you're the number one overall pick in baseball, you go to rookie ball, get shelled. No one just ever hears of you, so you have no shot to be a bust.
Yeah. Unless you're somebody like Bryce Harper, who was getting the hype at like 13 years old.
He was just – he had to make it. Dude had to make it.
Bryce you Harper. Guys got you guys want to do one more bust?
Yeah,
go this for is it. This is a pretty good one. So Tim Tebow is a top 10 bust in the NFL. So the dude went out and killed it for Florida. Great seasons in Florida. Did you guys think he would get bust, or did he would go out and kill it in the NFL? Zach, I want to hear from you first, man.
I honestly God didn't think his game was going to transfer to the NFL. I never expected Tim Tebow to go be a front runner for an MVP candidate or, you know, leading a team to a Super Bowl. I didn't see it in him. Great quarterback. One of the best college quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Hall of Fame.
I put in the top three best quarterbacks in college football that I've seen, and I can just go off the top of my head. I'd put Baker Mayfield, Cam Newton, and Tim Tebow. Wait. Those three right there, I mean, those are all-time fucking college quarterbacks. But I never – Cam and Baker, I could see them succeeding in the NFL. I didn't see it with Tebow.
I'm right there with you on that.
I thought they were going to make his ass like a tight end or something, to be honest.
David, hot take. I want to hear it.
So, for me, obviously he's one of the greatest athletes ever. I'm going to be first, like, switch over to Bill. I had just tryouts. He looked absolutely fucking yoked. Super good athlete, but like Zach said, and this is full honesty, I didn't think he'd be super successful in NFL unless he was willing to do more than one thing. As a, you know, every down quarterback, under center, or gun, whatever, I did not think he would be successful in the NFL. If he was willing to, you know, get reps at, I mean, even like running QB power type plays, you know, something that wasn't, you know, throwing the ball, I thought he would have been all right, but I didn't think that he would be successful as a every down quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I agree, man.
And I'll throw out one more, we ain't got to go deep into it, but if we're going to talk quarterbacks and talk busts, you got to throw Jamarcus Russell in it.
That was my next one, too.
That one fucking bust.
That one right there is the biggest of the big. Like, dude, through seven. Yeah. He threw 72-yard ball on his knees. And he's bankrupt as shit. Dude, just eating, you know what I mean? Came into camp at like 300 pounds. Ain't shit you can do with that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
busted work ethic for sure.
NFL bust, you got to say Jamarcus Russell. Like, we can't just famous let this slide on by. You know what I mean?
That's all time. They did TV shows over how big of a bust that fool was. Come on yeah. now.
With, now, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I read a story on Jamarcus Russell that when he got to camp, they his coaches handed him a DVD and was like, hey, go home tonight, watch this. These are some plays that
it was blank. The blank
we're thinking DVD. About, we're thinking about putting in. And he comes back the next day and they said, hey, what'd you think about it? And he's like, I loved them, coach. I think they're great plays. Like, I can run anything you want me to. It was a fucking blank CD.
Yeah.
They knew he wouldn't even put that shit in the DVD player.
Yeah.
They handed him a blank DVD. It came to camp saying, I know all plays.
Yeah, what year was that? It was probably fucking VHS tapes. They handed this motherfucker a blank tape. And they're like, hey, go watch this shit. And he's like, man, these blitz packages are insane.
Yeah.
He's talking about his fucking scouting report. Yeah, he's infamous for his blank tape shit.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get on to our next listener topic. Again, shout out to Lance. Lance, those were great questions, man. That gave us a lot of talking material. We appreciate it. Next one we'll go to, we'll shout out Derek Nickel. He wants to know, and there's going to be three of us here that are super biased. And and the people out there, they listen to the podcast. I get text messages. You guys are Sooner homers, you motherfuckers. Like, of course you think OU's contenders. But yeah, I do. Okay, I think they are every year. And then Derek gives us the question of the Heisman candidates for this year. Who we think is going to win it? I mean, it's fucking obvious to me. I mean, the front runner, Vegas agrees with me, is Spencer Rattler right now until proven otherwise. But they're all –
Vegas agrees with somebody. He's plus 50 odds.
Say that again. You broke up a little bit.
I said Vegas agrees with you so much. Spencer Rattler right now is plus 550 odds above DJ Ugalele for Clemson at 600.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Vegas has him as a favorite. And it's – to me, we talked about it in earlier episodes. It's the experience of coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Like
Spencer was very good last year in the second half. If he rolls that second half into a whole season, yeah, he's gonna be in New York for the presentation. I don't know if he's going to win it. He'll be my pick to win it, but he'll definitely be there. He's the front runner for it.
And there's no reason not to think he will be. Like, the way he picked it up in the second half of the season, there's no – he hasn't given you any reason to think he's not going to keep rolling that momentum. You know what I mean? So, obvious front runner to me.
Yeah. So, and we got – there's other people out there too. Like, Sam Howell for North Carolina. He's up there in Vegas's odds. He's fourth right now. But with me – like, he throws for a fuck ton of yards. But with me, what hurts him is he's playing football at North Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. I mean, North Carolina just doesn't play the competition that, you know, the Big 12 does, the SEC does. So he's not going to get the same amount of votes as the guys that, you know, we're rooting for. And that's okay. I mean, that just makes you want to play harder and get where you want to be, though. Can't take that away from the guy.
You're not winning the Heisman with 9 wins, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And as far as it goes for that, I think the kid from Clemson, the young cat, Ugalele, I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
It's fucked up.
But he's going to come out and he's going to light it up. I mean, throw for big yards. Clemson always has a good running game. He looks like he can run the ball to himself. I mean, he stepped in for Trevor Lawrence last year and looked good. So, I mean, Clemson will be up there. They'll be able – a lot of wins. I mean, the defense always be there. I mean, it's just one of those things. Yeah, and you Oklahoma homers, you skip Bayless's, always thinking of fucking Oklahoma Cats going to win the Heisman. Rattler, he is going to be good. Oklahoma's going to be good, but I think he's going to fuck up enough to where he runs himself out of there. And someone from the SEC will step up like they always do because, you know, college football always shows love to some SEC cat. So, but I think that kid from Clemson is really going to light it up and have a shot to win the Heisman for sure.
Hey, Peyton, what's Nebraska's quarterback's name again, huh?
Adrian Martinez. You'll hear a lot.
I'll write that down. I'm gonna write that down on a piece of toilet paper so I can wipe my ass with it.
Hey, Peyton, for real though, what you just said, like, will you repeat all of that? Because I didn't hear anything because I was still scrolling through this Vegas odds looking for a Nebraska player and I can't find one.
Hey, That's big upset coming. Big upset coming. You'll see me in Norman.
Oh,
big shit. Upset coming. You heard it here first on Balls Deep.
On Balls Deep.
For our Oklahoma listeners out there, because everybody listening to us isn't all Oklahoma fans, but for our OSU fans out there, if you guys got confidence in your boy, in your Spencer, the second best Spencer in the state of Oklahoma, throw you $100 down on old Spencer Sanders. He wins the Heisman, pays you $5,000. There's a little risk and reward in that.
That's a terrible bet, though. That's a good high risk high reward. Because, like, I mean, let's be real. He said you can't win a Heisman with 9 games. You damn sure ain't winning one with 7.
God damn.
So back on the Heisman, one that I thought was kind of cool because this guy's really good and he's proved it. Brees Hall, Iowa State. We're staying in the Big 12 here, obviously, but Brees Hall is a really good back. I think a lot of people take him lightly, and if motherfuckers don't watch out, dude, he's going to run all over them this year, dude.
Yeah, and Brock Purdy as well. You got to throw Brock Purdy in that. They're Brock bringing Purdy, experience man. Back. They were good as fuck last year, and they're bringing experience mm-hmm. back.
Yep, I agree with you on that, dude. And Brock Purdy, he's solid. He's not making a lot of the top list, like top 15, but he's definitely on the radar. Brock Purdy's definitely on the radar for the Heisman.
Yeah, and Peyton and I are sports bettors. So I look at these odds, like I'm looking through these, and you know, you brought up Brees Hall, and there's great value in there for Brees Hall on the Heisman. I mean, you put $100 on him to win it, it's paying out $3,300. Like, that's some pretty good value because he's gonna run for a lot of fucking yards.
Yeah, like, he's gonna get his.
Yeah. That's a no doubter, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody we forgot on Heisman candidates? And they have one here. They have one here on number 5. They got De'Arik King. De'Arik King to me as well. Like, he's just not going to win enough games at Miami.
Who's
the new Bama quarterback?
He's going to throw picks. He's going to get sacked. There's too much going on there in Miami for him to win the Heisman, in my opinion. He's not well rounded as the other guys at the top.
So going off of what David just asked, what about the new Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young?
Yeah.
I personally don't know enough about this kid to really put my input on, but I feel like with the way that Saban recruits, that he's probably going to be a solid-ass dude, but I just highly doubt that he gives enough to win it. What do you think, David?
Well, that's my thing. I think, you know, these big-ticket schools like Clemson we talked about this in previous episodes. Clemson's got to get a new quarterback. And Alabama's got to get a new quarterback. And SEC, ACC, big conferences, like, these cats are on the radar just by playing for Clemson and Alabama. So it's obviously up to them what their performance is. I didn't watch them in high school or anything, so I can't be like, oh, they're going to come fucking tear shit up. Besides the Clemson guy, he lit fucking Notre Dame up when T-Law was out. But, you know, coming in, being,
except he
you know,
didn't. He lost.
He played good, though.
But he lost.
He played good. Yeah, he played good.
So, David, I couldn't have said it better myself on that. You know, these guys haven't even played a season with the teams that they're on. But because they have been respectively recruited and are going to start for Clemson and Alabama,
yeah,
they're on the radar right off the bat.
Right.
Crazy shit.
Well, before the season last year, I think Spencer Rattler had like the third best odds to win the Heisman. And it was right. Because he was going to be a quarterback at Oklahoma. And, you know, yeah.
They had back-to-back
winners, and then Jalen finished second. 3 years, yeah. 3 years straight, they had a winner, second-place finish. And then before Spencer even played a snap last year, he had, like, third-best odds. But to your point, David, Bryce Young is second behind Spencer, and DJ Uiagalelei is third behind Bryce and Spencer. And it's just because those cats are going to start at Clemson and Alabama.
And unless they play, like, dog shit, you know, given the track record of these schools and these recruiters and then, you know, obviously the coaches, there's no reason to believe that these guys are going to be fucking scrubs. Like, I don't think that they're overrated in the Heisman despite having not a lot of, you know, a large body of work, because look at the programs they played for. There's a reason they start for these schools.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. I think we hit on everybody there in the Heisman candidates. Again, shout out Derek Nickel for that question. Good question. We'll get accused of being homers. Because we said Spencer, but, I mean, it is what it is. We'll go into second week in a row that we're shouting out Denver Johnston. Again, Denver's going to come on here one of these weeks with us too. Denver loves sports, knows a lot about sports. He'll be a good guest for us. We've talked about this first one a little bit in our other podcast, so we don't know where Peyton's head's on it. So, Coon, we'll let you get this one started. NBA Finals picks, who you got coming out of the East, who you got coming out of the West, who's in your finals, and who's winning it?
I'm a Bron homer, so shout out everyone out there who's a Bron homer. If you're not a Bron homer, you're a pussy, dude. The dude, the dude's a stud. And that's just facts. If you can't respect it, that baffles me. But coming out of the East, I think it's between Philly and Brooklyn. Whoever can win that series when they play, I would say Nets off the top because based off talent, but from what it sounds like, what Steve Nash has said and everything like that, they're not even all going to, they played seven games with their big three together. And it doesn't sound like they're going to have the big three together until the playoffs, bro. That's pretty tough to bring it together like that. And with the way Joel Embiid's playing, he's averaging like 30 and fin the night the last like six games, dude, is ridiculous. Right. And you're not gonna have LaMarcus Aldridge's heart rhythm problem and him retiring. Bro, you got no one to bang with him. You think DeAndre Jordan's gonna be able to handle Embiid? No, he is not. He's gonna get tossed the fuck around. And when you have the shooting that Philly does, and then always the ability to just throw it down low to Embiid, like, dude, that's a big deal. And then you got Simmons is an absolute problem on the defensive end. Like, he's going to lock down your best player and put the clamps down on him. I think that's it's hard for me to say. I think I want to say Brooklyn comes out of the East just because it's hard to say Harden, Kyrie, and KD can't get it done. But I think they have a big obstacle with Philly. It's hard for me to say, but one of those two teams is coming out of the East. I'm going to say Brooklyn. Brooklyn LA final. I don't think it gets better than that. But I mean, as far as what you see, AD Bron, the Kyrie LeBron feud thing happening in the finals, you know, and them and the Lakers having Drummond and Anthony Davis and Bron, I don't see them being stopped even on the Clippers' best day. So right. I think it's LA versus Brooklyn in the finals.
And I'll piggyback real quick off of what you said too about those three only playing seven games. It's also got to be taken into consideration. They've only played seven games together, and they're all three fucking head cases. Those three are the three that, you know, if shit starts to go sideways, they're going to start pointing fingers. They're going to start bitching at each other. They're all fucking head cases. I mean, they lose game one, Kyrie might fucking leave. He might go to the fucking Bahamas. You know what I'm saying? He might just bounce the fuck out.
He'll leave and call it a family problem, dog.
Yeah. One, he's liable to just fucking leave. Just be like, nah, I'm good. I'll be back.
I need some me time in the finals.
Yeah.
Got some family issues to settle. So here's my take on it. Out of the Eastern Conference right now, obviously, Philly is dogging everybody. I mean, they're 39-17. Best record in the East. Brooklyn Nets right behind them, 38-18. But Brooklyn, fully healthy, everybody on the court just out there killing it. They're going to be tough to beat. And if it comes down to it and Brooklyn plays the 76ers, I think Brooklyn takes that series, even though, like, yeah, Red, you're completely right. Head cases everywhere on that team. But with the addition of Blake Griffin to come off the bench, dude, they're going to be such a solid team to get around. I don't think Philly can handle seven games with them. Now, on the other hand, when we go west, the Western Conference is looking pretty crazy right now because you got Utah, Phoenix, LA, Denver. And the weird thing about that is Utah is not fucking losing right now, dude. Those guys are crushing the league over there. Phoenix Suns are right behind them.
Yesterday, though.
Huh?
They took a huge hit yesterday, though.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell going down. That sucks. Did they ever find out what happened?
What I read this morning was there's no structural damage, but there's no timetable for him to come back.
Okay, remember, so Jamal Murray's out too in Denver, yeah. Man. That's a blow. I mean, the Western Conference hierarchy. is fucked up.
So hence the whole reason I said it's looking weird over there. So, because you got two of the top five teams with two of their, they're both their star players going down. Although Denver Nuggets, their star player is Nikola Jokic. I mean, Jokic, that the Joker's the main player in Denver. You're not gonna tell me otherwise there, but
Jamal is capable of busting your ass for 50, and when you take him out, now teams can just isolate Jokic. Jokic's still gonna do Jokic things, like, don't get me wrong. He's still gonna ball, but with Jamal out, now they can completely isolate on Jokic, and you know, somebody else beat us, you know, whether that be Michael Porter, but you know, Michael Porter ain't the killer that Jamal is.
Jamal was an absolute dog in the playoffs last year.
Absolutely.
Dude, he was the reason they were fucking out there doing what they did. And like Wunderlich said, people will be able to at least throw another body at Jokic with Jamal being out. You know what I mean? So I think that's a big deal.
Yeah. So I absolutely agree. So we got Utah. As long as Spida is good, I think Utah is going to be fine keeping that one spot. Phoenix, they're going to have trouble. They got a solid team. Phoenix is going to have a little trouble. I absolutely despise LA. I hope they lose every single fucking game. The Clippers, by the way. Oh, I hate the Clippers. Absolutely hate those guys. George, Kawhi Leonard, those guys, man, especially PG. Red, you know that, man, being Thunder fans. So, but with Denver out, I feel like with Jamal out, Denver's going to drop. L.A. Lakers with a full 30 game, AD back, and LeBron back, I don't see them, like, not making it to the finals, man, honestly. I don't know what you guys think about that, though. I'd like to hear it.
It's opened up to the with like we said, Donovan Mitchell getting hurt and Jamal out for the entire season. It's opened up for both LA squads. I don't think Kawhi's a killer.
Oh yeah.
Kawhi's a killer. Like he'll go win you a game. But when it comes to the LA squads, PG won't show up and show out when it comes to LeBron and AD on the floor. I agree with you guys on the east side. It's between Brooklyn and Philly. I mean, it's not at this point in the season, it's not a secret to anybody. But I will go a little bit of a hot take for you guys. Okay,
I like hot takes.
Just for the podcast purposes, I'll go a hot take of the finals being Thunder, Wizards, Wizards in six, Russ with a ring, Russ with a ring.
Yo. Doing too much with that.
Oh shit! Hey, there's only one reason he did that, and it's because he fucking absolutely loves Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
dude, there's no reason in hell he would have never said that if it wasn't for Russell Westbrook in his fucking life, dog.
Yeah. All right, hey. So I'll give you my opinion on the finals here, and. In the East, it's impossible to argue with Nets, Sixers. I think a team that I wouldn't really count out yet. Yeah, Milwaukee, I like them. I think that they're in the running. You know, like your smart money's on Brooklyn or Philly, but Milwaukee's still in the hunt for me personally. And in the West, it's so much based on health. Like if LA is fully healthy, I take LA to the finals. I just do. The Jazz, if they're healthy, they're obviously in it. The Nuggets, Jamal Murray, that's a big thing. I think with those two teams having injuries, you have to talk about Portland a little bit. I mean, they're not out of it, you know, with those kind of injuries. I'm a big Dame fan. I just am. I know, Zach, I know he hit a fucking big shot on OKC. I'm a huge Dame fan. Fuck, you know, Dame, I subscribe to Dame Time. I do. And I think with injuries in Utah and injuries in Denver, you have to put Portland in the running too. But, you know, all things being equal, everybody healthy, I take Brooklyn, L.A.
Yeah. I mean
– L.A. Lakers or Clippers?
Lakers for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's – we've talked about it on other podcasts. Those are – I mean, like I said, this far into the season, it's hard not to say those two teams. You know what I'm saying? So, let's hop into – and for our listeners out there, sorry that we're bouncing around on on topics, but these are our listener questions, and we take them in the order that they posted them. We're going to skip. We'll skip his second one, Denver's second one, because we're going to come back to it. But we'll go back to college football just for a second. Denver wants to know who our top three greatest football schools of all time are, which that's a great question as well, because to me, it's going to be hard to do a top three and leave somebody out. Well, Peyton, why don't you get us started? Because you might say Nebraska, and that's not far-fetched at all.
That is not far-fetched, because you know the Scurs are going to be one of my picks. I mean, just for dude, they dominated that 90s, that 80s, 90s era. Yeah. You knew what they were running, the triple option, and you knew they were going to go for 500 on you, and you couldn't stop it. That was just facts, bro. But, I mean, teams like Notre Dame, I think of Notre Dame just from its history and hasn't had much recent success, of course, but I mean, just from an overall thing, like when you go back to the and look at the earlier national championships, you're thinking of Notre Dame and what they, you know, brought as a football school. Dude, it's hard to pick because I mean, football's gone on for so long, but I mean, my third, dude, I don't want to say OU by any means either. It's hard to keep them out of there, but I would have to say Alabama for sure. What Nick Saban's put together, you know, during our era, dude, you can't not like. Since I've been young, I feel like Alabama has been, you know, one of the in college ball. So it's hard to count them out of there. I would say Nebraska, Notre Dame, and Alabama are in my top three. Like just when I think of football and national championships and like what I saw like growing up and throughout my life, I would definitely say those three schools come to mind.
Yeah, I can agree with those. Like I said, a top three is hard to do because there are some programs out there that are fucking unbelievable. If you'd asked me 10, 11, 12 years ago, I wouldn't have put Alabama in my top three of all time, but Now I think you kind of have to, because of like what you said, Saban has done there. I'm gonna put OU in mine, obviously. So I'll have Bama, OU, and then it's hard not to put Nebraska. It's super hard not to put Notre Dame, and then it's super hard not to put Michigan either. Like Michigan's a fucking powerhouse football school. I feel like people don't think about them now because they've been down for, you know, and I say down, but they've been good over the past 5, 6, 7 years, but they're not doing what Michigan needs to be doing there because Ohio State's been so damn good, and Ohio State just kicks their fucking teeth in.
No doubt.
So I'll go with – on my final three, I'll go with OU, Bama. I'll put Michigan in over Notre Dame.
I'm with you, Red. I'm not going to do Michigan, though. I'm going to do obviously, not because I'm biased, just because we've got a great program, but I'm going to do OU, Bama. And as of late here, I'm going to do Clemson just because I feel like they're going to keep rolling.
I agree with that, but I can't put them in there right now for all time just because their recent success, absolutely.
That's why I said as of late, because right. I'm not going to have just a regular third pick because I got Bama, you know. As of late, Clemson's right. Going to be a dog for me.
Yep, I can roll with that. David?
Yeah, so for me, there's, like you said, it's very hard to narrow down the three, like the third pick for me. Like my first two, I'm going OU, Bama. And then for a third team, like the list is endless, man, on teams that you could put in. Because I feel like Texas is historically good as well.
They are, but I wasn't going to say them.
No doubt. You know, being an OU fan, you know, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but historically, Texas is a great football school. But I'm going to lock in my third at Ohio State. It's hard to leave no Notre Dame off. They're honorable mention along with Texas and so many other teams. But if I had to like lock in a three, I'm going OU, Bama, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to do something weird real quick on accident? One of the other biggest busts in NFL history, Vince Young. Sorry. Yeah. I had to go there. Yeah. I had to go there.
Disappointment-wise, for sure. Same as Matt Leinart. Like,
I didn't even think of
college quarterbacks ever.
That was the best football game I ever watched, was that USC-Texas game.
It was the fucking worst one I've ever watched.
Insane.
All right. So, that's a great question as well. On the top three, like I said, it's hard as hell. Hard as hell to do three of them. And then I said we'll circle back to a second one because two of the – his question and then another listener question we got, they were very similar. So, shout out to Denver for the questions that he gave us this week. Great questions. He had great questions last year. Looking forward to having him on one of these weeks. Next listener question we got, shout out Giuliano Barson, Ono from Stroud. Cool as hell. Love Ono. Love to get him on here one of these days as well. And this is a great question that I feel like we're all going to have some opinions on. And that's pound for pound, greatest fighter in our generation. And let's keep it MMA for now.
Dibs.
Go for it.
John Jones.
Yep.
Easy money. Easy money, John Jones. Light heavyweight, nobody's beating him. He didn't have his best performance in his last fight, but I will tell you this, he was so tactical with it that he won that fight fair and square, and there's no taking that from him. But there's nobody going to beat John Jones. Nobody's going to beat him in striking. Nobody's definitely going to grapple with him. John Jones is going to be the best pound-for-pound fighter our generation has ever seen, and I'll take that over Anderson Silva any day. Boom. Somebody at me, bro.
Yeah. Anybody going off, John? If I had to go – I'm agreeing with you, Chance. I'm going to go with John. If I had to go off of John, because let's say we're playing a game that you picked John so I can't, then I'd roll with Khabib.
Another game. Yeah. You can't
do that either. Yeah. You can't argue even Bones Jones, and that's who I would go with MMA. But I just want to give a shout-out, T-Bud Crawford, Terrence Bud Crawford. He's the pound-for-pound best boxer in the world, straight out of Omaha, Nebraska. So if you can't believe that, what up, you know?
You're going to get him on –
I think he just lost in a fight with Manny Pacquiao.
Are you going to get him on balls deep or what?
Bro, fuck, we'll have to go find him. This mother – he's living lavish now. But, dude – my girlfriend's dad actually built his house, I'm pretty sure. So yeah.
Get him on balls deep.
Get him on balls deep. Bring in T-Bud. Dude, yeah.
For sure, around, dude.
Pound for pound, best fighter right now. No one wants to smoke. I mean, he's fighting Pacquiao because he knows Pacquiao's going to be a check. And Pacquiao knows he's going to get a check. And they're fighting in fucking Dubai. So all the Arabs are paying for the, you know, paying their way that way. So big money coming in. But I just wanted to say that. Shout out to T-Bud because sure he has to be as one of the pound for pound best fighters out there right now.
Yeah. Omaha, gotcha, man. Hey, rep your city, dog. Rep your city. That's straight. David, who you got, brother?
All right. So I really like UFC. What I lack in baseball, I can make up for in UFC. I watch a lot of that. I think this is a lot tougher question than it seems. Like, it's easy for me to say John Jones. If I'm going to play devil's advocate and say that you guys picked Jones and Khabib, I think Amanda Nunes is an insane champion. And I think pound for pound. Nobody in the women's division, any weight class, wants those problems. Nobody. Oh, nobody even talks shit.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't
want them problems either.
That's exactly what I was going to
say. She would whoop our ass.
And that's the thing, bro. Like, any weight class, period, nobody wants that smoke. I think there's a lot of great champions out there, but, like, pound for pound, if I think, you know, I think Jones has really close fights with, like, Dominic Reyes, for example.
Yeah,
I think that could have went either way. So if I'm going to say, like, pound for pound, undisputed, it ain't even been fucking close, and not take Khabib, I'm taking Amanda Nunes.
So that's a really perfect example of we can't just go with one division, you know, one. Because if we're going with women, Amanda Nunes can – if Dana White would let her fight in every weight division, she would win every fucking belt right off the bat. She wouldn't even have to – she would not have to work her way up to the championship, like to fight the belt holder. She could go in there ready to go and win that belt at any given moment. I firmly believe that, man. Tell me I'm wrong.
Which makes her the best fighter of our generation, in yes, my sir. Opinion.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you one bit on that one.
I won't either. You got no arguments for me.
No.
None at all.
Amanda Nunes, bro.
And you brought
put,
up that
put Reyes a check fight. Off, put a check that.
You brought up that Reyes fight that John had. We all watched that fight together, and when it was done, you know, we were like, man, I don't know. I think
plus he has
John has like, the name. John has the name John Jones, and I think that helped a lot in that decision. But like,
yeah, you done, have to beat like, the champion.
Yeah, you gotta
knock the champ out. That's fact.
You gotta go beat the champ.
It's a shitty thing, but when you're Bones Jones, to take an L, you gotta get knocked the fuck out. Yes. You know, but the fight has to stop because the ref stops it. It comes to a decision. I mean, you're winning that fight because of your name. Right. You got to know that going into the fight. I got to knock this fool out. Like,
yeah. I think you have to beat the champion, but also another thing why I would put Amanda over John Jones is because of, like, all the controversy that surrounds his name as far as, like, drug tests and shit. He has blemishes. You know what I'm saying? He has close fights. You know, he's got close fights, and he's got blemishes as far as staring back.
But at the same time, you got to remember that he beat up DC while he was hungover. He had a cocaine hangover from three nights of cocaine and strippers, dog. Come on.
What a savage.
He's out there living life, beating people's ass for sure.
It don't get more pound for pound than that, than cocaine and strippers on a weekend and then roll into an octagon and whoop somebody's ass.
And it's Daniel Cormier. Like, that's not somebody's ass. That's Daniel Cormier's ass, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
No shit.
And then we got Giuliano's second question. It's the top 10 picks in this year's NFL draft. I'm not going to go into the top 10. I'll go into the top 5 just to kind of keep the time down a little bit. Obviously, the number 1 is T-Law. That's we knew that for 3 years now.
Can't argue that one.
I think the BYU kid, Zach Smith, I think he goes number 2.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he goes number 2. And then at number 3, the Niners traded up to that pick. Yeah. I think they are fucking themselves if they take Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a second round quarterback to me. I might get some arguments on that. I don't think he's a first round quarterback, let alone a number 3 overall pick. I'll take fucking Justin Fields a thousand times over Mac Jones, 1,000 times over again.
So, Mac Jones actually didn't show out at his pro days either. Like, he didn't do very well at his pro days. So, he might not go first round. I agree with you there, Red.
Yeah, I don't think he's a first round. And then if I'm the Niners and I they said they're rolling with Jimmy G, if it is a smokescreen, I take Justin Fields. And then my 4 and 5, I don't know who has that pick, but I think 4 and 5, if I'm going off best players, like best player availables, I'd throw in Devontae Smith in there, obviously. What's the Florida cat?
The quarterback?
No, the tight end.
Oh, yeah, absolute Kyle stuff.
Pitts. Yeah, yes, thank you. Kyle Pitts, I throw him in there. And then that lineman from Oregon, wait. If you need to protect the quarterback,
good as fuck. Yeah,
go on and get that boy,
Penei Sewell. That boy, he is a large man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying if you got a franchise quarterback you want to protect, go ahead and snag that guy.
So Kansas City needs some linemen for sure.
Yeah, but we ain't getting him at 31.
No chance.
We got the trade path to get up there to get him.
I don't know. What you guys think personally, but so T-Law to the Jags is one. I don't see that going any other way. Zach Wilson, I think that's going to be a strong 2. One to the Jets, could be wrong, but between those two, like Zach Wilson to the Jets or Justin Fields to the Jets, those could be flip-flopped.
Which I'd take Fields over him too.
Yeah. I would too.
And I would too, no doubt. And then whoever doesn't go to the Jets, I think goes to the San Francisco 49ers. Given the fact that I think they have pretty much called Jimmy G injury prone, which is obvious now. Yeah. He's an injury prone fool. And since I think the Atlanta Falcons, like they're not solid on a tight end right now at all. That's where I think Kyle Pitts is going to land.
I think they traded out of that pick, didn't they?
Atlanta's going four.
Then I've heard they're considering trading out of that pick, trading down.
And then you got, I think, Ja'Marr Chase with LSU going to the Bengals.
Yeah, I like that one. I like Ja'Marr Chase.
They lost AJ Green. They're gonna need some firepower over there. Dolphins, Penei Sewell. Here's the one that really fucks me up, and I don't know why. But here's what's been in the news, and you know me, I'm a Broncos fan. You know, Lord help me, Trey Lance, North Dakota State sophomore. You know, he's going to. I'm almost positive they're going to get there. So,
to Denver?
Yeah.
I would love that pick for Denver.
And looking at all of his games he's played, you know, I think he's going to be a pretty solid quarterback. But given the fact that last time we drafted somebody from North Dakota State, he turned out to be ass. I'm not as solid on that pick, but I'm going to give Trey Lance a chance because, you know, I'm a firm believer in I'm not gonna knock it till I try it. So yeah,
I think Trey Lance is a good quarterback. I take really Trey Lance over Mac Jones.
No doubt.
The same here. That's why he's projected over Mac.
I think the first five picks all end up being quarterbacks. I think Atlanta draws back, gets value for that fourth overall pick. Someone comes up because I think Trey Lance is gonna be someone wants Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's five solid quarterbacks you could bring in that top five that I could see people wanting. I could even see the Bengals dropping back. If Bengals stay at five, I think they go with that with Devontae out of Alabama. They got AJ Green walked, and he's with what, Arizona now, I'm pretty sure, and Kyler Murray. They just signed James Conner too. They're going to be a sick little team down in Arizona. But
yeah, they're going to be solid.
I think if the Bengals stay at five, they pick up Devontae because he's a commodity. He's going to be an all pro at some point in the NFL. But the potential with them too, even trading back. I think five quarterbacks could go in the first five picks because people want to run up and make a move. I mean, you got the three overall. You got Justin Fields, T-Law, Wilson, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. I mean, dude, right now people are trying to find their quarterback, and I think it's going to be people are going to find value in the top five for trading back.
Mac Jones is not going to go top five, dog. I'm telling you.
If I'm Cincinnati, I use that pick on Penei Sewell, and I protect Joe Burrow and I protect Joe Mixon. Get Joe Mixon some blocking and get some protection for Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
that's good. You
could move back and still get him, right? With where – I mean, there's potential to still get him.
I think he's by far the best lineman in the draft. Do you risk
– He'll go top 10.
Do you risk trading back to pick 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there and risk missing out on him? Like, why not just take him?
Yeah, I think you have to pull the trigger because, you know, there's some mobility at four, but, you know, if you're Cincinnati, you have your quarterback. Now you have to build around him.
And you got your running back.
Yeah, you got your quarterback, you got your RB. I think one, nobody argues T-Law. I've got Justin Fields two over Zach Wilson. I think he goes three. Four, there's some mobility to be seen as far as that pick getting traded. But Cincinnati is for sure, if they're smart, taking a lineman, and Sewell being the best one in the draft, you know, at five. I won't go all the way to 10, but Dallas has a 10th pick. And I'd like to see them get Surtain from Bama or Micah Parsons.
That's
from
a good one right there, bro.
If they take him at 10, Jerry Jones did not fuck up this year.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad with Micah Parsons either, though. I wouldn't. If they got that linebacker, Micah Parsons from Penn State, with the injuries that they have with their linebacking core, I would not be upset about one of those picks at 10.
Because we were at the
gym. I like that.
We were at the gym the other day, and it was saying Jerry Jones is in love with Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts ain't going to be there at 10, Jerry. Like,
Let it go. Also, you need some fucking defense. Somebody can cover somebody over the top one time. Like, yeah, Jesus Christ.
Jerry's going to trade for that fourth overall pick and take Pitts with his punk ass.
I hope not.
Shout out to Giuliano again for those questions. We had some great listener questions this week. We've gotten a little winded, so our last couple questions we'll save. We got one left from Rusty Wells with the Big 12 Conference. We can get into that next week. But shout out to you, Rusty. We didn't forget about you. We just gotten a little winded here, so we want to keep the time down a little bit. We ain't trying to go for 2 hours or anything. And then our other one was from Dustin. Dustin, man, we appreciate the Dustin Tolliver, that is. We appreciate the question, man, but you're never gonna catch balls deep talking about politics. So I apologize, but we're gonna have to digress on that question. But shoot us another question and we'll get to it next week.
Let's keep politics out of sports, but let's also keep politics out of balls deep.
You're damn right. we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Peyton, man, you've been a great guest. I tell you right now, your hot take's not going to come true. We're beating Nebraska's fucking ass this year. But I can't wait for it to come here, because when it does get here, that means Peyton Coon's going to be in Edmond, Oklahoma, and we're going to mob up to Norman. I want you to see firsthand the ass whooping that y'all are going to take. That's what I'm most excited for.
Rattler's Heisman campaign ends with the Scurs, brother. Cornhold.
All right, y'all heard it here first on Balls Deep. He said at the beginning of this, the Scurs win it 28-21. I'll tell you right now, if Nebraska holds OU to 21 fucking points, Peyton, I will drive your ass back to Omaha while you sleep off a hangover, and I'll take you to the best Omaha steakhouse there is, and I will buy you a steak if they hold them to 21 points. Because
hey, you heard it here, America.
That's on the record now.
I'm taking that. I want that steak, baby.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, you hold them 21 points because it ain't fucking happening. But
hey, more like you heard it here, world, because we got listeners in Hong Kong, dog.
We do got listeners in Hong Kong. I don't know who it is, but if you listen this week, please message me on Facebook and let me know who it is, because – I don't know, but we appreciate whoever you are in Hong Kong listening to Balls Deep. We appreciate the hell out of it. Again, this has been Balls Deep Episode 9 with our special guest, Peyton Coon. Peyton, again, thank you. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, as always, joined by co-hosts Chance Rich and David Burgess. Man, looking forward to it next week. Y'all keep posting your questions. We'll get to them, give you a shout-out. It's helping us out a lot on Talking Points. We appreciate the hell out of you guys, and we'll holler at you next week. Again, this has been Balls Deep.